Welcome to TJ Sideways Live, courtesy of racesontheweb.com. Here is your host, TJ Buffenbarger.
Thank you, Beth. Coming to you here live from the Engine Pro Studios just outside of Grand Rapids, Michigan. And it's our home week. It's a home game. The closest probably I'm ever going to get to racing at home with the World of Outlaws. And hold 12 minutes from the studio I sit in right now. And my first guest is coming off two victories with the World of Outlaws this weekend. And Joey Saldana, what's the closest you've ever had to drive to a race to go compete? Have you been within a 10, 12-minute range? Or usually, have you ever had one that close?
Actually, yeah. When I started racing, I ran a USAC pavement race at Raceway Park. So that was about a 3-minute drive. So wasn't too bad.
Yeah,
I don't get to do that very often.
You and I both. And normally we measure these things in hours. So it's going to be awesome. And let's go back to this weekend and what a weekend you had starting at Eldora. To start the night there, the track blazing fast as we've seen it in probably a decade. From a driver's perspective, when Eldora is like that, when it's that extra tick faster, is it any different for the drivers? Or is it basically it's fast all the time? You really can't tell the difference between 12.7 and maybe a 13-second lap around there.
Well, I think that's pretty deceiving. I mean, yes, it's fast, but I think Craig Dolanski has a track record at Eldora at a 12.7, but that was around the top. And the way they've changed the track, qualifying was around the bottom. So, you know, yeah, you're running a 12.7 or a 12.8, but you're going around a lot smaller track instead of running around the top. So it's pretty deceiving. The track turned out to be just like normal. It was a good race right up on the fence, and I think that's why the fans come to see that style of racing that Eldora is accustomed to putting on. So the racing was really good, and glad we were a part of it and glad we got the victory. But, I mean, I really don't think that track had the speed in it like it used to when Craig Dolanski set his track record there.
Joey Saldana joining us, coming fresh off of two World of Outlaws victories with the World of Outlaws STP Sprint Car Series. And man, just lately, you've been on quite a roll. You won at Eldora, you won at Lernerville, and you've actually had several podium finishes in your past six starts. So what have you guys hit on lately? Is it just you're getting good qualifying efforts, maybe a better draw, or did you find something with the race car?
No, I mean, like, actually, Lernerville, it was a matter of qualifying in the right spot. We were 13th quick and then put us in the first heat, won our heat, and that put us 7th overall qualifying time for the dash, and they drew an 8th, so it puts outside front row, which this year I've been qualifying really well, and our Speedway motors have been really good, and we've been qualifying, you know, in the top 3, so usually the pill draw is not in your favor, and you got to start behind everybody, so luckily, you got the favorable 8 pill draw being 7th, and it put us on the front row. We just had a really good car all night, and actually had a really good race there with David Gravel, and just, you know, held on and got the victory. But yeah, I mean, we've had our share of starting 8s and 6s and stuff like that. So on a 90 race schedule, it's kind of turned for you every now and then, and then definitely the 8 pill worked in our favor at Lernerville.
Joey Saldana joining us here. And you mentioned, Eldora, that you're just glad to beat shots at that point. And what's going through your mind when you look up under caution, you see that 15 or whoever it is that might have the hot hand? Because quite often I know you guys look at the scoreboard under caution and whatnot. What goes through your head when you know that the person with the hot hand's right behind you?
Well, I mean, nothing. It doesn't really change anything. I mean, if you're going to worry about Donnie Schatz or whoever it is, then you're not going to get the job done. It's just, I mean, when you see a guy like that roll up next to you and you know if you can defeat him, if you can actually beat him heads up, you actually accomplish something. I mean, it's hard enough to win an outlaw show, but the way it's been the last few years, Donnie Schatz is just the guy to beat. So I think it's just makes you feel happy and proud for your old team and yourself when you can beat a guy like that, because you know they're definitely giving 110% every night and they're out to win every race. So if you can beat a team like that, then you know you accomplished a pretty good feat. And that's all I really meant by that. It didn't really matter who was next to me. I knew they were going to want to win the race as bad as me. It's just when you can beat the 15 car right now, I think you've really accomplished something.
You mentioned the 90 race schedule, and sometimes when you go through rough points, you see teams change cars, change equipment, change personnel. you guys are pretty steadfast. You made a chassis change last year, but for the most part, you've stuck with this program that you've built. How difficult is it when it's going bad to not to maybe stay with a program or stay with a particular thing and try to make it work instead of changing it, going the easier route and plowing through it, whether it be personnel or equipment?
Well, I mean, it's easy. I mean, the guy that wins probably 90% of the outlaw races and the Knoxville Nationals and the points, he's running a J&J shaver, and that's what he's been doing for 20 years. So maybe people need to pay attention that maybe you don't need to change. You just need to take what you have and fine-tune it and do a better job with what you have. And I think that's kind of the road we're on. We don't have a huge budget. We have what we have. You know, we don't have 8, 10, 12 engines. We've done this whole season with 4 engines. So we're, you know, we got to do with what we have and just try and learn from our mistakes and try and get better. And every race, that's all you can ask for. And right now, that's what we're doing. And I don't think we can really afford to change. And right now, I don't think you really want to change. You just want to fine tune what you have and try and get better race by race.
Now, a unique scenario this Saturday night. You guys are going into a racetrack that the World of Outlaws have not only been to, but not only that, but it's normally blacktop, and they put dirt over top of it, which you guys have done before. But when you go to a new track and you don't really have anything to reference or anyone that many people to talk to that have done it, how do you approach that?
I mean, you just kind of, you get there and you look at it, and, you know, we race so many different racetracks, you just kind of, you know, just throw a track that seems pretty similar to that, and hopefully the gearing and the stagger and stuff's right, and then you just go from there and work on your car and fine-tune it. I keep telling myself, I think I ran a USAC pavement race there, but I can't remember if it was this track or not. But I do remember when I started racing, I ran a USAC race up in Michigan, and I thought it was Marne, Michigan, but I might be wrong. But if I am right, then I'm probably the only one that's ever raced this track. And when I did, it was asphalt.
Yeah, and more than likely, if you thought it had about 6 corners, you've got the right one. So.
Yeah, I remember it was a pretty unique place. And then I'm sure you put dirt on top of it, it's going to be even crazier than what I anticipated.
And so you don't get into any of the high tech stuff. You don't go looking at Google Earth and everything and looking to see how the thing's shaped or anything. You just wait to get.
No, not really. I mean, the biggest thing with dirt track racing, it's. I mean, even when you go to the same racetrack, these tracks vary so much just depending on the weather and time of year you get there. I mean, you go to Williams Grove in July is totally different than going to Williams Grove in October. You just have to, you know, pay attention to what's going on with the weather. And you know, if it's going to be raining, it's going to be a totally different service than what you're going to anticipate. So, and then also, you know, dirt being on top of asphalt, you know, we were told that the outlaw race, it was pretty rough for the late models. So, I mean, it could easily be that way for us too, with the sprint cars. So you just go in there and hopefully you do everything right. And the first thing is hopefully have a good hot lap session, which can set you up for a good time trial effort. And then, get through your heat race, put yourself in the dash, and have a shot at winning. That's what we do at any racetrack, and that's how you have to approach this track, even though it's the first time.
Joey Saldana joining us, talking about his big weekend and life on the World of Outlaw Tour. And initially, you talked at Knoxville about how you weren't going to go to Australia this year, spend some more time with the family, but now we have this winter series that's popped up, and it sounds like you're going to be doing that. How excited are you to have some winter racing that you're not going to have to travel internationally for?
Oh, I'm very excited. This year I'm building my own midget to go to DeCoin December 20th in Illinois, and then on the Chili Bowl in Tulsa. So it actually works out really good for me because I can run my midget, you know, at the end of December, and then you got Christmas, and then you go to Yuma for, you know, for 10 days, race 5 big races, and then on the Chili Bowl for a week. So for me, that's a perfect off season. I'm still home. I can be home for Christmas and be with my family and enjoy that part of it. Where if you go to Australia, you really have to be away from your family for a good month. And that's really not what I want to do. I mean, I've been there. I've done it. I've been lucky enough to win some big races over there. So I've accomplished what I want to do over there. And right now it's time to stay home. And this Yuma Winter Series is going to work out really good for me. And I'm sure it will for other drivers, too. Once they pay attention to what's going on there, and hopefully it turns out to be a really good deal, and it's got some staying power, and it's going to be there for a few years, so guys can commit to it.
Joey Saldana. I remember you talking about the midget out in Knoxville. Are you building this thing totally from scratch? Did you go get a car and you're actually building it, or are you bending tubing and actually coming up with your own deal?
Actually, I was very lucky. When I started racing, I got to work for Lee Osborne building race cars, and then later on, I got to work for John Godfrey at Stealth Chassis and building race cars with him. And it's just a relationship I've had with John and Spike now. And I've always told him I wanted to build a midget and just have something to play around with for myself. And so John Godfrey's helped me out so much with this and putting this deal together. He helped me get a motor from Esslinger, and it's just something I wanted to do. And then you see Darren Pittman jumping in his midget when he can and being very successful at it. So, you know, you never know if there's races that pop up, you know, and I can attend them. I'd love to do it because it's just something that I'd like to do. And, you know, it just keeps you racing and it keeps you in something different. And I think that helps racing too. When you drive something different every now and then, I think it just makes you a better driver doing what you do every day. I think you see that with Kyle Larson or Rico Abreu or anybody that jumps in and out of race cars, Christopher Bell. I think it just makes them a better versatile race car driver. And you know, so running a midget or a late model or whatever, anytime, I think it would help you with your wingspan car when you do get in that.
And plus, you're a guy that likes to tinker with the car. So how does the driving part, are you kind of excited about the mechanical part of it as well?
Well, I mean, really, the mechanical part really excites me because Chili Bowl is one of the few races that there's no rules. You can kind of do whatever you want. Not that I know how to re-engineer a midget, but I can make it lighter or work on it with a mill or a lathe and just play around with it, have fun with it, and try and just make a pretty unique, nice, fast race car. You know, I don't think I'm going to go out and beat a Christopher Bell at Chili Bowl or a Sammy Swindell or Kevin Swindell, but, you know, hopefully I can build a good car and go out there and be competitive and have fun with it. That's really what my goal is. And you never know. It might turn out I might put somebody else in it or maybe my son will want to drive a midget someday. I don't know. But right now, I just something to have fun with, and, you know, you can kind of tinker it. The way the rules are now with wing sprint cars, you can't really do too much. And especially for myself, I'm not a big guy, so you can't really work on your race car and make it lighter because I'm always trying to put weight on my car. So this is something that I think as a driver that you can kind of play around with and you know, make your own unique race car and go to the track and hopefully be successful with.
Well, I have a feeling that your car will definitely be unique knowing you, so it'll be little touches.
I mean, I'm shooting for a light car. If it's not the fastest, it's going to be the lightest one at Chili Bowl. And I know that's a tough feat to accomplish, but right now I got great guys working on it. I got Jeff West with ITC and obviously an Esslinger and Spike and, you know, Stevie Smith's helping me. Dane Cook's helping me. I got a lot of great people helping me with this thing, so I'm sure it's going to be a light piece when I'm done.
Well, Joey, we're definitely looking forward to that. Hey, best of luck. Safe travels this weekend, and look forward to seeing you back in the Mitten this weekend at a brand-new venue.
All right. Thanks for having me.
All right, Joey Saldana joining us on the line. It'll be fun to see him Saturday. We're going to take a commercial break. When we come back, we'll have Wayne Johnson. This is TJ Slideways Live on racesontheweb.com.
Engine Pro, the nation's leading specialty engine parts distributor, featuring name brand engine parts and custom engine kits sold by professional rebuilders. With 29 distribution centers providing engine builders and machine shops across the country with a full line of brand name internal engine components at competitive prices. Engine Pro is committed to building the success of their customers by offering competitive pricing, innovative programs, and knowledgeable sales representatives. For more information, visit our website at engineproparts.com. It pays to know a pro. Engine Pro.
If you're looking to add a little edge to your racing program, repair your engine, maybe even look into a new engine, Bailey Racing Engines of Coldwater, Michigan is a fine supporter of TJSlideways.com. Visit them online at BaileyEngines.com or call them at 517-278-8488.
All-Star Performance is a manufacturer and supplier of racing and high-performance auto parts, accessories, and specialty tools. From quarter midgets to sprint cars, All-Star Performance has all of the accessories you need. To find a dealer near you, visit allstarperformance.com. Sprintcarhall.com.
TJ Buffenbarger here for the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum in Knoxville, Iowa. The Hall of Fame continues to promote the future of sprint car racing by preserving its past. The museum is located in Knoxville, Iowa, and is open Monday through Friday, 10 a.m. to 6 p.m., and Saturday and Sunday from noon to 5 p.m. On race nights, the museum will stay open until 7 o'clock. Don't forget, race fans, one of the best ways that you can support the Hall of Fame is buying a membership. They start at just $25, and a basic membership gets you and a guest free admission to the museum and a 10% discount off in the museum store. Also, check with the Hall of Fame for suite tickets on the second and third floor for the 2013 Knoxville season. You can get information on all of this by going to SprintCarHOF.com, the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame.
Glade Shock Technology is a cutting-edge shock bump stop technology company located in Northwest Ohio. Specializing in sprint car racing, new and used sales, service, and repair, Eric Slade and his crew have over 30 years' experience working with shocks, from the short tracks to the super speedways. For more information, visit SladeShockTechnology.com. Slade Shock Technology, where knowledge and experience make the difference.
If you're looking for new or used shocks or repair for your shocks or bump stop kits, make sure to check out Slade Shock Technology. Eric Slade has experience from sprint cars to NASCARs. He was in shocks before it was trendy, and now that's the hot thing in racing. You need to get your shock program in shape. Visit www.sladeshocktechnology.com for everything they offer. Slade Shock Technology. Get with the program. Get your shocks in shape.
There's a buzz in the bleachers, a rumble on the pavement, and the sweet smell of sprint car speed is in the air as Must-See Racing brings you the fastest short track event on earth. Watch as the most daring lead foots in the land stand on the gas and rock it around one of the fastest half miles in America. There are records to be broken and racing royalty in the pits. It's a flat-out, foot-on-the-floor sprint car fiesta, and you can't find this brand of adrenaline-soaked action anywhere else.
If you love sprint car racing like we do, you need to get yourself to Pennsylvania this summer. Already recognized as one of the 10 must-see races of the year, the first annual Dirt Classic presented by Casey Kane on Saturday, September 27th, is stacking up to be a premier event. The race will be held at Lincoln Speedway and boasts the highest payout in the track's history, with $20,000 on the line to the winner. But you don't have to wait till September to get your Dirt Classic picks. Tickets can be purchased at www.dirtclassic.com for reserved seating and general admission. Save your seat now and save $5 when ordering. The Dirt Classic presented by Casey Kane, Saturday, September 27th at Lincoln Speedway.
Engine Pro, the nation's leading specialty engine parts distributor, featuring name brand engine parts and custom engine kits sold by professional rebuilders. With 29 distribution centers providing engine builders and machine shops across the country with a full line of brand name internal engine components at competitive prices. Engine Pro is committed to building the success of their customers by offering competitive pricing, innovative programs, and knowledgeable sales representatives. For more information, visit our website at EngineProParts.com. It pays to know a pro. Engine Pro.
Welcome back to TJ Sideways Live here on RacesOnTheWeb.com. And my next guest, probably you can't get into his driveway because they backed up a Brinks truck. Wayne Johnson, you just won $50,000 at I-80 Speedway. Has that sunk in yet?
You know, not really. I haven't got paid yet, so it'll sink in when I start paying them bills off that we've been neglecting for a while. But you know, I should have a check by tomorrow, so I'm looking forward to putting that in the bank.
Yeah, you officially won as of today. They did have to do a little inspection. I mean, after all, when you have this much money on the line, they want to make sure everything's on the up and up. And as of today, you're officially the winner, so we can congratulate you on that. Let's talk about and start through the whole weekend. On Friday night, dominating performance on Friday. Car was really good, and it seems like you've really hit on something.
Yeah, we've been struggling, you know, for probably a good eight, 9 months. And we just, I went up to, you know, Canada and drove Miles' car there and, And, you know, the car was beautiful up there. And I just tried to imitate some of the stuff that we were doing to that car onto the cars that I have. And Eric Slade is who was doing Miles of Shocks. And I'd never ran them until I'd ran that car. So I had Eric make me a set of shocks there. And they just really, the car's really comfortable to drive. And you know, that's really, I can really only say that. Because we haven't changed really much other than that.
And you did that, and so you go out and you dominate on Friday. So after you win on Friday night, what is it like to sit there overnight knowing that you're the only guy that has a shot at winning this huge bonus? Did it feel any different waiting for the next race, or did it just feel like another race the next day?
Well, it wasn't really, I didn't put any pressure on myself because I knew I was the only one that could win the money, and so it wasn't a lot of pressure as far as, you know, you don't want this guy to win or that guy to win. You know, you just want to do the best you can. So I didn't really put a lot of pressure on myself as far as the money goes. And I always hate being locked in because, you lose track time. But in the same token, you don't want to have to go through the heat races and all that stuff again either. But, you know, track time is a lot. You get to tune on the car all night long. And really and truly, without that red with 16 to go, I don't know that we were going to win the race. We needed that red to tune on the car a little bit because we just didn't have enough track time for the night.
And another aspect of this is it rained a lot between Friday and Saturday, and the program was even ran a little bit late because of the Herculean effort the track crew had to even get this thing in. But did that make you a little nervous knowing you had to pass cars with a heavier racetrack like that?
Well, you know, I really was worried because when we drew the sixth pill and was going to have to start sixth, I knew that with the racetrack as good as it was going to be really hard to pass. So, you know, it was a little bit discouraging at that point. But they had a lengthy intermission there, and they worked the front straightaway because there was water seeping across the track in a couple of spots. And actually that intermission really helped it dry the racetrack out some. And by the end of the race, you know, probably 10 laps to go, the racetrack was probably as close as it was to Friday night as it could have been.
That's a good story. And, man, you had to work for that thing on Friday. I mean, you didn't have the lead till about 7 laps to go.
There on Friday night, you know, on Friday night we led every lap.
Yeah, on Saturday, though, you had to work for it pretty good.
Yeah, on Saturday we were a third place car going into that red with 16 to go, and we made a couple of adjustments just to free the car up because I was a little bit too tight. And honestly, after we got back after we'd won the thing, we'd kind of going through our notes and figuring out what we did, and we ended up right back to where we won on Friday night. So I don't know why we changed so much. Well, we really were just trying to overcompensate what we thought what the racetrack was going to do, and we should have just left it alone, evidently.
Obviously, but it all worked out in the end. Biggest win of your career? You've won some big ones, some Knoxville Nationals prelims, some other stuff. Does this count as the biggest win of your career?
Oh, no doubt about it. You know, just because of the money. You know, I don't know many other races that pay more than that. You know, the Knoxville Nationals and the Kings Royal, and really that's about all it. That's all there is for sprint car racing, you know. And $50,000 for a 360 race is a pretty big deal.
And you think about it, there's only so many people have won that Kings Royal, won the National since it's gone up that high. I mean, there's not even 20 people that have taken home that kind of a paycheck at a single race in sprint car racing.
No, exactly. You know, I was at the car wash this morning. We were getting everything cleaned up, and Perry Mattson rolled in and asked me to borrow some money. And I said, well, buddy, I said, you got more money than I got. You've won, you know, more of these big races than I have here lately. So, Kerry winning the Kings Royal there with $50,000 and then shots, you know, the $150,000 at Knoxville. I don't know of any more, you know?
Exactly. Now I've been reading along today, and all of a sudden you're fishing for a late model ride this weekend. You feel like you want to stay home for the weekend, but sounds like this is something that's actually kind of interested you.
Oh, you know, I just popped off. It was just kind of a joke to begin with. To be honest with you, living in Oklahoma City, you know, there was no late models growing up, and I loved going to the late model races and watching the late models. And to be honest, I would be, if I could, I would probably be a late model guy because I love those cars. I love the long races and I love watching them. And I just never, ever had the opportunity. And I just popped that off just actually as a joke. And now there's, you know, a few people actually making comments and actually, a couple people actually phoning me and really want to know if I was really serious. So, and I just told them that I would definitely love to drive a late model, but it'd have to be a really good car. I don't want to go out there just to ride around and just to say I did it, but I want to go to a race where I can make some money, you know, with the hockey race going on this weekend and everything. But, like I said, it just started out as a joke and a few things have kind of transpired. Nothing confirmed, nothing yet at all. But, so as of right now, we're still going to the hockey race.
Sometimes the worst answer you're going to get is no, you might as well throw it out there, right?
Yeah. You know, I'm definitely not going to say no to the right opportunity. I can tell you that, you know, we've been on the road a lot here lately and if I got to stay home this weekend and just race in my backyard, it's probably going to be a couple months since I've been home on the weekend. So, and it's my daughter's birthday on Friday. So, and that makes a big difference because I can stay home on her birthday.
Definitely those kids change things, don't they? I've discovered myself.
Yeah, they really do, you know, and it stinks that I'm gone so much and I miss out on so much and, you know, this will be maybe the first birthday that I'm going to have to miss if we're racing the hockey deal, which she understands, and we're not having the party till Sunday anyway, but be the first day that I won't be there on her birthday.
Well, maybe you can bring her back a trophy. That'd be pretty awesome, I think, for a birthday present.
Yeah, you're exactly right. I brought her some trophies home this week, and she said, "Dad, I just don't know where we're going to put all these things."
Well, hey, Wayne, it's been great to visit with you throughout the summer and stay next door to you during the Nationals. One day I'll actually come over and say hi if we ever get time, you know, at Nationals is. But congratulations on the big bonus, man. It was deserving, and I'm sure you have a couple people to thank as well.
Oh, definitely. You know, the biggest supporter of this team is – his name's Todd Carlisle, and he's just kind of a silent partner in this team. And without him, definitely couldn't make it happen. Vern Ring and Miles Hill, Ray Williams, Byron Sebastian, and I'm sure I'm missing some people because, you know, I made a lot of, you know, there's a lot of people that are involved in this race team. Scott Billich is one of them. A lot of people are involved in this race team because, you know, heck, I'm not a rich person. Without all these people, I couldn't make this happen. And they're very, very good supporters of mine, and I appreciate everything they do. And they've stuck with me through the bad and the good. So I got to thank them a lot.
Well, Wayne, enjoy the upswing, man. Best of luck in Wheatland, and congratulations on scoring probably the biggest bonus we'll see anyone pick up all season.
Yeah, definitely. Thank you very much.
Wayne Johnson, we're going to take a commercial break. When we come back, we're going to talk to Kevin Nouse. You're listening to TJ Slideways Live here on racesontheweb.com.
Engine Pro, the nation's leading specialty engine parts distributor, featuring name brand engine parts and custom engine kits sold by professional rebuilders. With 29 distribution centers providing engine builders and machine shops across the country with a full line of brand name internal engine components at competitive prices. Engine Pro is committed to building the success of their customers by offering competitive pricing, innovative programs, and knowledgeable sales representatives. For more information, visit our website at engineproparts.com. It pays to know a pro. Engine Pro.
If you're looking to add a little edge to your racing program, repair your engine, maybe even look into a new engine, Bailey Racing Engines of Coldwater, Michigan is a fine supporter of TJSlideways.com. Visit them online at BaileyEngines.com or call them at 517-278-8488.
All-Star Performance is a manufacturer and supplier of racing and high-performance auto parts, accessories, and specialty tools. From quarter midgets to sprint cars, All-Star Performance has all of the accessories you need. To find a dealer near you, visit allstarperformance.com.
TJ Buffenbarger here for the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum in Knoxville, Iowa. The Hall of Fame continues to promote the future of sprint car racing by preserving its past. The museum is located in Knoxville, Iowa, and is open Monday through Friday, 10 a.m. to 6 p.m., and Saturday and Sunday from noon to 5 p.m. On race nights, the museum will stay open until 7 o'clock. Don't forget, race fans, one of the best ways that you can support the Hall of Fame is buying a membership. They start at just $25, and a basic membership gets you and a guest free admission to the museum and a 10% discount off in the museum store. Also, check with the Hall of Fame for suite tickets on the second and third floor for the 2013 Knoxville season. You can get information on all of this by going to SprintCarHOF.com, the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame.
Blade Shock Technology is a cutting-edge shock bump stop technology company located in Northwest Ohio. Specializing in sprint car racing, new and used sales, service, and repair, Eric Slade and his crew have over 30 years' experience working with shocks, from the short tracks to the super speedways. For more information, visit SladeShockTechnology.com. Slade Shock Technology, where knowledge and experience make the difference.
If you're looking for new or used shocks or repair for your shocks or bump stop kits, make sure to check out Slade Shock Technology. Eric Slade has experience from sprint cars to NASCARs. He was in shocks before it was trendy, and now that's the hot thing in racing. You need to get your shock program in shape. Visit www.sladeshocktechnology.com for everything they offer. Slade Shock Technology. Get with the program. Get your shocks in shape.
There's a buzz in the bleachers, a rumble on the pavement, and the sweet smell of sprint car speed is in the air as Must-See Racing brings you the fastest short track event on earth. Watch as the most daring lead foots in the land stand on the gas and rock it around one of the fastest half miles in America. There are records to be broken and racing royalty in the pits. It's a flat-out, foot-on-the-floor sprint car fiesta, and you can't find this brand of adrenaline-soaked action anywhere else.
If you love sprint car racing like we do, you need to get yourself to Pennsylvania this summer. Already recognized as one of the 10 must-see races of the year, the first annual Dirt Classic presented by Casey Kane on Saturday, September 27th, is stacking up to be a premier event. The race will be held at Lincoln Speedway and boasts the highest payout in the track's history, with $20,000 on the line to the winner. But you don't have to wait till September to get your Dirt Classic picks. Tickets can be purchased at www.dirtclassic.com for reserved seating and general admission. Save your seat now and save $5 when ordering. The Dirt Classic, presented by Casey Kinnon, Saturday, September 27th at Lincoln Speedway.
Slideways Live on
RacesOnTheWeb.com. Thank you, Beth. Back from commercial. And one of the things I pride myself on with TJSlideways.com is we have a pretty good grasp of what's going on throughout the whole sprint car world. We're not just a non-wing site. We're not just a wing site. A 410, a 360, a 358, a midget. You know, we kind of do the whole thing. And we encompass the whole, you know, whether you're pulling in an open trailer or if you are Joey Saldana with the World of Outlaws. We like, when we find a good story, we like to tell it. And the good story from this weekend is on the line with me now. From Central Pennsylvania, he picked up Courier Win, number 100 at the Lincoln Speedway on Saturday night. And Kevin Nouse joining us on the line. And Kevin, first off, congratulations on getting into triple digits during your career for victories.
Yeah, well, thank you very much. And I'd like to thank you for having me on. It's a pleasure to be on your show.
Oh, do appreciate it. And let's talk about Saturday night. You know, how long, because you've probably been at Win 99 for a little bit now, has there been pressure to kind of get, you know, on yourself to get that Win 100, or is it just something that was more of an afterthought when you did it?
No, we got win number 99 last weekend, and we got win number 100 this weekend. So, no, you know, it was kind of funny. It snuck up on me. I don't typically keep track of my win numbers. I mean, I know what they are, but we haven't added the numbers up for a while. And this past week, we added up the numbers, and lo and behold, we were at win number 99. And it was just pure coincidence that we added it up and we were at 99. So it was kind of cool. It snuck up on me. So it was no pressure whatsoever because it was something that I didn't even realize that could, you know, was going to happen. So no, it snuck up on us, and we were fortunate enough to get it there on Saturday night. I tried to get it on Friday night at the Grove, and I finished second. But you know, Saturday night we got it, and it's just cool. I mean, it's you know, it's a big accomplishment for me. And like I said in Victory Lane there, you know, Fred Raymer and Lance DeWeese and the guys here in the Northeast, you know, Billy Pouch, Brent Hearn, all them guys, you know, they have 300, 400, 500, 600, 800 wins, and it makes you look at that with a real appreciation and think, man, it took me it took me 9 or 20 years to get to this number, and them guys have, you know, multiple times over 100, you know, than I do. And it's like, wow, it really makes you respect them guys even more.
And talk about how you got it done on Saturday night.
Well, it was a draw show. Normally we handicap here in Central PA, but the points are over. So it was a draw race, and we started ninth in our heat and finished second, which put me in a redraw, and we drew number six. It took me a little while to get to second, and we had a restart when I was in second, and I challenged for the lead. And then I was racing with Doug Hamaker, and once I showed him what my line, he took it away. And at that point there, we were just kind of following, probably 6, 7, 8 car lengths behind him, and he had to race one. We caught lap traffic with maybe 5 to go, and the track had started taking a little bit of rubber on the exits of the corners, and he was working lap traffic and trying to get around the middle of them. And I just basically stuck in the rubber, and I ran him down, and I was very fortunate. I got past him and the lap car. We went 3 wide down a front stretch. I got past him and a lap car coming down for 2 to go. And then from there, I just kind of settled in. I didn't even try to pass any more lap cars. I just settled in, and we got it done. So we were fortunate. He was a little impatient in lap traffic, and you know, we capitalized on it. But he did a real good job, and it was his race to lose. And you know, like I said, he was just a little impatient, but he's a good young driver, and I'm sure he learned from that experience.
And Kevin now is joining us on the line. And what I think is interesting about your 100 wins, when I look at your bio, you've driven Super Sportsman, 410 sprints, 358 sprints. So you've pretty much done the open wheel gamut over there in Central Pennsylvania and been pretty successful at all of it.
Yeah, we've been fortunate. I started in micro sprints in 1994, and actually I didn't start as a kid. I started as a 22-year-old adult, and we ran 270 micros and 600 micros, and then I went into the Super Sportsman, and I was fortunate enough to win there my rookie year, and then we moved from that to 358, and then to 410s, and then I've been back and forth, like, pretty much between 410s and 358s ever since then. And we even threw a year of 360 racing in there. So, yeah, I've driven pretty much everything around here that you can drive, you know, except for, like, a 305. And, you know, we've been very fortunate. I've been extremely fortunate. I've managed to win at least one feature race for 19 years straight now. So that's something that I'm also very proud of, you know, that, there's, you know, it's hard to win, especially as a rookie. Whenever you go into something as a rookie, like the Super Sportsman division, they would get 50 cars, and we were fortunate enough to win 2 races as a rookie in the Sportsman's, and we won in a 410 as a rookie. So yeah, we've had a lot of luck, and I've been very fortunate to have good cars and good car owners and good pit crews and everything that you need to have, you know, to be able to reach 100 wins.
At this point in your career, what makes the 358 division attractive for you as a driver?
Well, it kind of, you know, a couple of years ago, I was a full-time 410 driver, and my car owner, whenever the economy kind of went in the dump there, my car owner sold everything. And at that time, the 358, you know, we were getting 50, 55 cars, and there was a lot of car owners there. We went back to the 358 division and got a good ride there, And I like the division. I think it's a great stepping stone to the 410 division. I really like it. I can race in the 358 division. I can have a lot of fun. I don't have near the pressure that the 410 drivers feel. And that's probably because of my racing experience. So it's enjoyable to me. It's not a 2-3 night a week schedule, you know, a lot of times it's just one night a weekend, which I also enjoy because I have a 9-year-old son and a 1-year-old daughter, and you know, we do a lot of stuff family wise and also in my own business, so I'm very busy with that. But you know, it's just it's an enjoyable division. I really have learned to like it, and I think that I have a really nice home here in the 358 division.
Kevin Nowes joining us, and with that being said, that there's some change to that division at certain tracks in central Pennsylvania. We saw Steelance Grove Speedway move to a 360, a more of an ASCS type motor. And one thing I do hear from a lot of people is like, well, the parts are more readily available. You can find more used equipment. But on the other side, I want to see what your take is on this. What do you think of the 358 division, some of the tracks morphing it more into an ASCS format?
Well, they're definitely, in my opinion, they're two separate divisions. And they're trying to race them together at Stillions Grove. Actually, just last night at Susquehanna Speedway there, they had a 360 / 358 race. They're very comparable horsepower-wise. The 360s have more torque than the 358s because the 358s have a flat-top piston and a compression rule, where the 360s don't. So they're very comparable horsepower-wise. Torque-wise, they're not. But they're very similar, and they race pretty well together, at least in this area they do. You know, I don't think a 358 could run with an ASCS national car or anything like that, but I'm not a huge fan of the 360s coming to Central PA right now, and it's just because I feel as though that there's already, you know, numerous divisions here. You know, you can run a 305, a 358, a 360, a 410. And it's kind of spreading out the fields a little bit to where, you know, car counts are thinning out in every division. And, you know, it's something that I think that people need to look at and keep in mind whenever they're choosing the division they go to. I mean, there's no division in Central PA that's really prospering right now. You know, the 410s are pretty solid, but, as far as anything else goes, you know, everything's getting kind of thin in comparison to what we're used to as far as car counts go. So, you know, I don't have anything against the 360 by any means, but, you know, it's just tough. There's so many divisions here. Like I said, I think that the car counts are kind of thin because of that. And, you know, it's expensive. Racing is expensive. And I think that the 360s are very high cost cars versus like the 358s. You know, in my opinion, if you're going to spend the money to go 360 racing, you might as well spend the money and go 410 racing.
Kevin Allison, that's one reason I asked you that question. I figured you might have that side of this and explain it to maybe some of our audience that's not in the central Pennsylvania area that might read about those cars and not necessarily understand what's going on out there. So that was an awesome explanation. So you mentioned you've won in every division that you've competed in at this point. So what's next? Do we put you in an ARDC car? Do we try to put you modified? I mean, or are you just content to keep on racing sprint cars?
No, I'm pretty content. You know, I have several friends in late models and dirt modifieds, and I'm always on them about letting me drive their car because I would just like to do it just to experience it. I like to drive different types of cars. And I'll drive anything. I don't really care what it is. I mean, I go on a micro tomorrow night if somebody called me and wanted me to run one. I just enjoy racing, and it seems like the older I get, the more I enjoy it and the less pressure I have on myself. So I don't know what's next. I had a meeting with my car last week, and I decided that I will no longer be driving the car that I'm currently in right now. Honestly, at this point, there is nothing that's next. I'm hoping for another opportunity to call along. But, I will no longer be driving the 4R car. You know, we've had two incredible years together. We're on our way to winning our second Williams Grove Track Championship in a row. We're in the thick of it for the Central PA 358 point standings. We've done a lot. I mean, this year we've run 24 races, and we have 22 top four finishes, nine of them being wins. And the only two races that we haven't finished, we were leading one of them and running right outside the top five in the other one. So, I mean, we've had an incredible year, you know, but it's time to focus on some other stuff. And, you know, I appreciate the opportunity that they give me to drive the car, and I'm glad we had so much success. But, you know, I got a nine-year-old son in here that's really beat me up about going quarter midget racing. And so, you know, I'm not looking to quit. I'm not looking to retire, but I am looking to scale back a little bit. You know, so I can give him the opportunity to do what he wants to do also.
So, car owners out there, you're listening. Kevin Nowes, free agent. Want to do a lighter schedule? We found you a driver, so you can get a hold of him and from there. And you mentioned you're a business owner yourself. How did you get interested in the sign business and everything else you do with the graphics and such?
Well, I've always been into art. All the way back, second, third grade. I remember sitting in second grade and drawing stone throws on my tablet. When I was supposed to be paying attention. All the way, I went to art school, and all the way through school, I was into graphic arts and commercial art, and it was kind of a natural thing just to get into the sign business, and I did it full-time for a couple of years, back like 2000, 2001, 2002, all that, and then whenever we were going to have my son, I went and got a real job because the business wouldn't sustain the family, and then after a couple of years, my wife took me back in. She said, you should go do it again because, you're good at it. It's something you love to do and you should do it. So I think in 2008, we went back into it full-time, and I've been full-time ever since, and it's going extremely well. I'm very pleased, very happy as a business owner. We're actually in the process of expanding our business right now. And not only do I sell, do signs and graphics and that type of thing, I also am, I sell K1 Race Gear custom racing uniforms, and, we're actually the country's largest distributor for K1 Race Gear custom racing suits. So, that's something we're expanding on right now, and hopefully that'll continue to grow. But that's kind of my deal. I'm very happy doing what I'm doing, and life couldn't really get much better than it is right now.
It's always interesting because the majority of the sprint car world does have a real job during the day. So we always like to see what people are doing and interesting things people do for a living. Well, Kevin, congratulations on getting win number 100. It was a neat story over the weekend. I'm glad we had a chance to talk to you.
Yeah, well, like I said, I really appreciate you having me on here. I understand that I'm the first ever 358 driver that's been on your show, and I really appreciate it. It's gathered a whole lot more attention than I ever dreamed that it would have. I mean, I had so many people that call and send me messages and text messages congratulating me. And it's a really neat thing. I mean, it's something that, hopefully 30 years from now, I can look back and say, man, I remember that. And it was an awesome feeling. And again, I really appreciate you having me on the show to talk about it.
Not a problem. Hopefully we get a chance to talk to you again at 150.
Yeah. Hey, anytime. You just let me know.
All right, Kevin Nowes, we're going to take a commercial break. When we come back, we're going to wrap up the show with another great story from the weekend. You're listening to TJ Slideways Live here on RacesOnTheWeb.com.
Engine Pro, the nation's leading specialty engine parts distributor, featuring name brand engine parts and custom engine kits sold by professional rebuilders. With 29 distribution centers providing engine builders and machine shops across the country with a full line of brand name internal engine components at competitive prices. Engine Pro is committed to building the success of their customers by offering competitive pricing, innovative programs, and knowledgeable sales representatives. For more information, visit our website at EngineProParts.com. It pays to know a pro. Engine Pro.
If you're looking to add a little edge to your racing program, repair your engine, maybe even look into a new engine, Bailey Racing Engines of Coldwater, Michigan is a fine supporter of TJSlideways.com. Visit them online at BaileyEngines.com or call them at 517-278-8488.
All-Star Performance is a manufacturer and supplier of racing and high-performance auto parts, accessories, and specialty tools. From quarter midgets to sprint cars, All-Star Performance has all of the accessories you need. To find a dealer near you, visit allstarperformance.com.
TJ Buffenbarger here for the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum in Knoxville, Iowa. The Hall of Fame continues to promote the future of sprint car racing by preserving its past. The museum is located in Knoxville, Iowa, and is open Monday through Friday, 10 a.m. to 6 p.m., and Saturday and Sunday from noon to 5 p.m. On race nights, the museum will stay open until 7 o'clock. Don't forget, race fans, one of the best ways that you can support the Hall of Fame is buying a membership. They start at just $25, and a basic membership gets you and a guest free admission to the museum and a 10% discount off in the museum store. Also, check with the Hall of Fame for suite tickets on the second and third floor for the 2013 Knoxville season. You can get information on all of this by going to SprintCarHOF.com. The National Sprint Car Hall of Fame. today.
Blade Shock Technology is a cutting-edge shock bump stop technology company located in Northwest Ohio. Specializing in sprint car racing, new and used sales, service, and repair, Eric Slade and his crew have over 30 years' experience working with shocks, from the short tracks to the super speedways. For more information, visit SladeShockTechnology.com. Slade Shock Technology, where knowledge and experience make the difference.
If you're looking for new or used shocks or repair for your shocks or bump stop kits, make sure to check out Slade Shock Technology. Eric Slade has experience from sprint cars to NASCARs. He was in shocks before it was trendy, and now that's the hot thing in racing. You need to get your shock program in shape. Visit www.sladeshocktechnology.com for everything they offer. Slade Shock Technology. Get with the program. Get your shocks in shape.
There's a buzz in the bleachers, a rumble on the pavement, and the sweet smell of sprint car speed is in the air as Must-See Racing brings you the fastest short track event on earth. Watch as the most daring lead foots in the land stand on the gas and rocket around one of the fastest half miles in America. There are records to be broken and racing royalty in the pits. It's a flat-out, foot-on-the-floor sprint car fiesta, and you can't find this brand of adrenaline-soaked action anywhere else.
Welcome back to TJ Sideways Live here on RacesOnTheWeb.com. Over the weekend, this is an interview I planned on doing maybe later in the year. I was hoping to do it actually earlier because it was turning out to be a really great story. Last fall at the Harvest of Sprints at Waynesfield Raceway Park, Dustin Engel had to be airlifted out of that racetrack there for a vicious accident, and he was hoping to run to Eldora the next day. Unfortunately, got in that accident. Months of recovery. Dustin came back to race this year and actually scored some top five finishes at Waynesfield and was getting close to winning, so we were hoping to have him on after he won. Unfortunately, didn't get it done during the regular season. Still has a couple of races left to get that accomplished, but I ran into his sister, who was keeping us updated throughout the process of his recovery and how he was doing. I mentioned, hey, I'd like to get him on the show at some point to talk about his comeback in his season, because he's had a pretty good year. And turned out, during the rain delay on Saturday, he happened to be sitting a few chairs down from me. So it was really great to have a chance to do this interview with Dustin Engel, and I hope you guys enjoy it. It's a good way to close out the show tonight. Here's Dustin Engel from this weekend at Eldora.
Dustin Engel, getting ready here in a few weeks for the last race at Waynesfield with the 360s and the non-wing cars. And last year, of course, you had a really big accident there. And this year, you've turned it around. You recovered from that, and you've actually had a pretty decent season.
Yeah, it's been really good. We've been inside the top 10 a lot this year and had a couple top fives, and just hoping carrying it into next year.
And last year when that happened, scary incident for all of us, you know, to see you medevaced out there. What happened, and what was the recovery like from that?
I got upside down racing for a second and got hit in the back of the cage and broke a lot of stuff in my face, and just a couple months off work and sitting around in the chair and waiting for it to heal. But I mean, nothing has affected me this year.
That's obviously. And you mentioned it seems like, you know, you've recovered nicely and you got right back in the race car, and you've been running so well all year.
We've had a good car. I bought a really good car over the winter, and that's helped a lot. I mean, the car's carried me a lot more this year than I've carried it, so that made it a lot easier. But it's just, it took a while. I mean, the first half of the year we were tough. It was tough to race around different guys, and it was tough to actually race. I mean, but once I got comfortable again, the car was there for me, and we were fast.
Waynesfield has opened up an opportunity for non-wing sprint car racing here in this part of Ohio. There's good car counts there every week. Quality cars, too. Do you think you would be sprint car racing right now if it wasn't for the Waynesfield program being there?
No, definitely not. I've always wanted to go wing racing, but never could put the funds together. I mean, it was kind of a shoestring deal to put the non-wing thing together. So it's worked out for us for sure. We've had a couple experiences over in Indiana running, but it's nice to have Waynesfield close to home, and it's cheap to run there right now.
And what makes that program so much fun, and what makes it reasonable for so many low-buck guys to be able to race there?
Typically, the track's a little slick, so it doesn't take a lot of motor, and there's a lot of cars there. I mean, there's a lot of variation from old cars to brand new cars, and everybody runs the same because the track's slick. I mean, it just depends how well you can get a hold of it.
Yeah, it's a high main track too, so even though it gets slick, it seems like you still get around that place pretty decent.
Yeah, it's very racy. There's always a top and a bottom, and it makes for good racing.
Now that fall weekend, it obviously starts at Waynesfield. All goes well. There's a race here the next night. Are you planning on taking that in as well?
That's the plan right now. It'll be our first time here. We were supposed to come here last year for the first time at the same race, so hopefully the result goes a little better this year.
How excited are you to be able to race here hopefully in a few weeks?
It's a little intimidating, but I'm looking forward to it.
Did you grow up going to the races? How did you get interested in sprint car racing?
I've raced go-karts for a long time, and family's always watched races, and I've always been down here watching in different places and just kind of decided it was time to move on after the go-kart thing, and that's what we decided to do.
And now you obviously you're in sprint car racing. What's the plan for the future? Where would you like to see your sprint car career go?
Really, I don't see it going any farther than what it is. I'd like to run some USAC races and try and be competitive in that, but the funding, I mean, it's just insane what it takes to run this. I mean, these guys got 2 and 3 cars in a trailer, and they can tear it up and just get another one out. It's not a big deal for them. For me, I tear it up. We might sit out a couple weeks. So to be able to be competitive locally and maybe make a USAC show, that would be awesome.
Dustin Engel, best of luck coming up at Waynesfield. Look forward to seeing you there at the fall race.
Looking forward to being there. Hopefully get a good run.
I'm sure you have some people to thank as well.
For sure. Great sponsors. We've had the Hefner's Dairy Barn, Smuggler's Cove Campgrounds. My grandparents have helped out. My parents, just awesome. Got a great crew, Roy, and my dad, mom, sister. My wife is just there week in, week out, helping with everything she can. So it's just a good family thing.
All right, Dustin, best of luck.
Thank you.
Dustin Engel, and what a great story. We love telling stories like that. Great comeback. I was hoping he could get that win. Maybe he'll get it. The Harvest of Sprints coming up at Waynesfield. It will be on October the 10th, the night before the Sprintacular, at Eldora Speedway. So October 10th at Waynesfield, 360s and non-wing sprint cars, along with the AMSA mini sprints. That should be a neat program to take in before that Eldora finale. And that's going to wrap up this edition of TJ Slideways Live. I'd like to thank Joey Saldana, Wayne Johnson, and just that amazing story from Dustin Engel. I mean, you know, that was pretty awesome. And then how about Kevin Knaus? 100 wins, some great stories on this edition of TJ Slideways Live. We'll do it again. Hopefully the streaming audio will work this time next week, where we can go live at 8 o'clock p.m. Eastern. If we don't, we'll still tape a show for you, and you can listen to it later on, and all of our other shows and podcasts on demand throughout the week. Thank you, and good night.
Thank you for listening to this edition of TJ Slideways Live.